All this week, WHYY has been examining gentrification in our series entitled Gentrified, Stories of Rapidly Changing Philadelphia. Our reporters heard from many city residents whose lives have been affected by the change, good and bad. And we've been asking for your thoughts and feedback as well. Joining us now to wrap up the series and discuss some of your responses is Annette John Hall, who wrote a few of the pieces this week. Welcome, Annette.
Thanks, Dave.
Annette, we'll get to listener and reader feedback, but first take a moment to review the scope of the series.
So our first story looked at some of the root causes of gentrification in Philly and went back to tell the story of how the Society Hill neighborhood has changed. And another piece looked at the fact that the data says whiter neighborhoods are actually gentrifying faster than traditionally black neighborhoods.
In addition, there was a focus on Strawberry Mansion, where committed neighbors are trying to keep what's theirs ahead of a wave of new development.
Yep, and another one looked at what the African-American middle class is doing in East Germantown. And the final piece at WHYY.org examines how an immigrant community is helping to make the neighborhood of Olney thrive.
So now let's take up some themes that emerge from audience feedback. And for one, just living through the physical signs of change.
Yeah. On Twitter, Harold Burnett, who didn't really tell us where he was living, but he had a really good description. He said, gentrification to him means waking up every morning to multiple construction projects, having multiple coffee shop options, dog parks, mixed-use buildings, multiple Air and Express weekends.
Race and gentrification was a second major theme.
Yeah, we got some pushback from a reader who said, just another in a never-ending series of articles that politely demonize people who dare to move into a low-income community and dare to have an opinion on their surroundings. That was from somebody whose tag was Rufus Deck. He was on Twitter. And we also heard from a 31-year-old white woman living in Ardmore. She's looking to buy a house in South Philly and is very anxious about her role as a possible gentrifier.
So we're kind of puzzled as to how do we become part of the community without hurting that community, without contributing to rising property taxes and things like that. How do we join a community like that as white allies as opposed to predators or something that's going to be seen as having a negative effect?
Annette, we also heard from someone who grew up in a white Irish Catholic neighborhood in Northeast Philadelphia and has seen it become much more diverse since she moved away.
I do know that the neighborhood has changed, and now it's not all white anymore, which is fine. I mean, people work hard. That's what matters. But I just felt like you only told the part of the story that was about people who are of color, and then they have white people coming in.
You know, she has a really valid point. We did try to get past stereotypes in this series. That's why we looked at East Germantown and Olney. And in East Germantown, we told the story of Mark Lamont Hill. He's a Temple professor who bought a row house in East Germantown about 15 years ago. And then he opened a coffee shop, which sort of flips the whole stereotype of gentrification on its head. Because the stereotype is that whites buy coffee shops and put in bike lanes. And Mark Lamont Hill is African-American and is doing this with black books and serving sweet potato pie and opening up this space for everybody, but really for established African-American residents in the neighborhood.
And we also heard from listeners who emphasized that there are both winners and losers as a result of rapid change.
Yeah, we heard from Peter Corahanis, who lives in Point Breeze in South Philly. He's white. He's been there for about a decade. And he says that the changes are good for homeowners of all colors.
Gentrification for me was not a bad thing. And I've always explained that to people that even for black people in my neighborhood here, it's not necessarily a bad thing. My next door neighbor, for example, who was very welcoming when I first moved in, you know, he told me he was 78, he had heart problems. So between my pension, my savings, and whatever this house is worth, it's probably going to pay for my nursing home.
Annette, looking back on the scope of the series, what else comes to mind?
Well, you know, Dave, it's more than just data. This is a real emotional topic. And what we found is that longtime residents don't know how to think about so-called interlopers taking over their neighborhood. And the newcomers don't want to be labeled as gentrifiers. Our research tells us that as these neighborhoods continue to change, the biggest fear is that low-income residents, renters and homeowners, black and white, can increasingly get priced out of neighborhoods. So it's sort of like a ghettoization of low-income people if this continues to happen.
Thanks, Annette.
Thank you.
Annette John Hall on Newsworks Tonight.